Connect FM.
What an honor. This is on Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 today to welcome Brother Johnny, Thomas Edison of our oil and gas industry, and the recipient of another technology award from the Offshore Technology Conference, 65,000 plus per day. And Johnny's feet probably a little bit tired, and all the handshaking, and all the people that love Brother Johnny from Houston. It go well this week, Johnny?
It was great. Quite a show, and a lot of people were there, Steve.
Well, so, I tell you, I miss being there. I have not gone in the last 2 years. I love being there when people come up to me and say, Johnny, I'm going, I'm his brother. Oh, is John here? Is Johnny here? It's just an honor because you're a rock star. It's just great to have you back on the program. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy, icon. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Very good.
It's great to have you both on. Mike, I begin with Junior Seau. He took his own life a couple of days ago. Linebacker, outstanding football player, and as I understand, a pretty good guy. What a sad deal in the NFL family.
It really is. And, you know, like you said, a very good guy. God, it was tremendous in the community. He did so many things to help so many people. I think it's going to be interesting now. They're going to donate the brain and for study. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of it, because I think to me, and I think you're going to find that a lot of this might be post-concussion syndrome, where it's going to be similar to what Dave Duerson went through. These people go through a state of depression, and from my understanding, you know, he didn't have financial problems, so I don't know what it could be. So it'll be interesting to find out what it is, and maybe it'll help somebody down the line.
Well, it's hard to grasp that. You know, Mike, of course, I've had some bad days, but wow. And
when you shoot yourself down, I mean, this is a third one now in a period of less than 2 years. So, you've got to start looking at it and say, wait a second now. And I think the NFL is taking a hard look at it. And what they're doing on concussions now is right. Now, maybe people don't agree with it, but it is right, because if you have one, you aren't playing the next week. Now, people say, well, can you do more than that? I don't know. Football is a pretty physical pretty physical sport. And you know, people get banged around pretty good at me. I don't care how good that helmet is. You're still going to be, you're still going to get banged around.
Now, this is modern-day gladiators, is it not? And these guys are playing by choice, but the money is so big now. It's just, if somebody gets banged up, they're going to say, put me back in the game. I want to play.
You're right. You're right, exactly, Steve. There's a pride factor, you know. It's that macho thing. And then the other thing is that they really don't know how bad they're hurt. They have no idea what the consequences can be.
Well, and you don't know. Some guys did make it through, and some high-impact guys, and it doesn't seem to affect them like some others. So it's a tough thing to do. I thought... And they work on it, but I still think you can do better with just the helmet materials. I think they're making it too hard. They should have a little more shock absorber on the outside, I think. But
John, you're an engineer. You're 100% right. Now, when I played, the helmet was plastic. It was shell plastic with foam rubber inside. I said it to you guys, and you didn't really go out and strike with your head. I mean, that wasn't – you didn't feel like, boy, I put this on my head. I'm the most protected guy in the world. I think what you've done now, you build a helmet that is so sophisticated, these people have no fear now.
Oh, all right. All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Jonathan Vilma and Will Smith, two current Saint players, and two former Saint players suspended for a period of time. Vilma's out for the season, all part of Bounty Gate. What was your take on that, Johnny?
Well, I mean, I expected Vilma to take a hit because he was really right in the headlights, and I'd offer $10,000 for one of the games if they got... I think it was Favre out.
Kurt Warner, I think.
Well, and so he was going to be made an example of. We knew that was coming. And then, four games for Will Smith. I mean, maybe he probably needs a rest, Steve. He hasn't played that good in the last few years.
I was going to say, the defense of the Saints, I mean, they're probably going to live without two guys.
Well, if you look at it, we were 29th, but we had the best offense in the history of football. So, we're probably the worst defense in the league. I mean, Green Bay and New England can argue that, but we were terrible. So I don't know what our problem, Mike, is we're still not quite done with our Drew Brees task. I heard they were getting closer, but we've got to get that settled. or we're not going to have
a team. That would be a major problem, John. If you didn't have Breeze, you'd really have a lot of problems because it is such a great offense. He's such a great player. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but they look like they've kind of dug their heels in the sand and they're not backing up on it.
Well, the latest yesterday was they're a little bit closer. There was a little progress, and if we get him, Stevie, we'll still have the ability to move that football, and then I'm still hanging my hat on Steve Spagnuolo. I think he's really a good coach. I think we can put together a pretty good defense compared to last year. I mean, if we had that kind of offense, I still think we could be a pretty good football team. We'll see. Boy, everybody's up.
They can be a good team. You're no question about it, John. You're right. They can be a very good team.
But Mike, you'd mentioned weeks ago that the bounty thing or go get a player has been around forever in football. A lot of the players currently think that the Saints were just the poster child for all this. They're going to be made example of to end this thing, to stop it. But what was happening there, while wrong, sadly, probably wasn't unique.
No, I think it's happened before. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that it's happened before. I can honestly say, I don't, the old saying, you kill a snake by cutting off the head. So that's where this whole thing came down on the quarterbacks. But the thing came down with Warner and then Brett Favre. I still find it hard. No, this is only me now. I'm talking. I find it hard. You say, okay, I want to hurt that guy to get him out of the game. Well, you might hurt him. You might. End his career, to me, it makes no sense. I mean, the game is tough enough. It's a physical sport, guys. There's not, you said it's gladiators. Come on, guys. You don't have to go out intentionally and say, we're going to get this guy out. I'm going to take his knee out. That to me, is it's disgusting. And this is what was happening. For what? You're making money, and you're saying, we'll give you $5,000 if you knock your guy out of the game? Come on. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think, though, there's a little more to it, Stevie, too. Greg Williams had a reputation for this. They were on to him, and they just told him, you got to stop doing it, when he was at the Saints. Then he and Sean Payton told the commissioners they had stopped. Then it was found they had not stopped.
I see.
And it just built up.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an example. It wasn't just it's been done before. It's like, we know it's been done before. That's why we're trying to stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. And like Mike has
stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I think in the case of Sean Payton, he probably thought it was stopped. I mean, let me tell you one thing, guys. I mean, the head coach doesn't know everything. And, I mean, it goes on. He really doesn't. I mean, when they break off in the defensive meetings or linebacker meetings or whatever, there's a lot of things probably are said that you really don't know about at that time. So, I'm not defending Sean Payton because I think he's one heck of a guy. He's a good person. I think if he did that, he found out about it, and then I think probably he thought it had stopped.
Well, there's no doubt that the defense was kind of Greg Williams' deal. Sean was turned over to him, and he wasn't around it that much as far as what they were doing in their group.
No.
So there's
thing,
no doubt he didn't know the gory details of it, I don't think.
Yeah, but it's something like, Buddy ran the defense. I may never made bones about that. Yeah, I was a head coach, but he ran the defense.
Yep,
they did what he said.
Yep. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, 743. Chinese dissident Cheng Wencheng. This has been all over the news. It's a diplomatic crisis. Let's get a recap now.
U.S. officials say he's had a change of heart, and Chen himself says he's worried about his mother, brothers, and his supporters. A fellow dissident told lawmakers that Chen was told some disturbing information when he got to the hospital about the treatment of his wife.
She was tied and beaten, and was threatened with life. Basically, the interrogator told her that if her husband did not walk out of the U.S. embassy, they will kill her.
All right, now he wants to get on Hillary Clinton's plane. David Gergen, CNN, with Anderson Cooper, had this to say.
You said the honor of the United States is at stake with its handling of Mr. Chen. How so? Well, the United States has long been one of the foremost advocates for human rights in the world. We've stood up on those issues with regard to the Soviet Union. We've stood up with regard to China. We tried to do that with Tiananmen Square. And, of course, the United States relationships are taking place with China in a very broad array of issues. But this one is so simple and straightforward. It is about the life of a hero who is blind, who escaped from the Chinese authorities. And I think most Americans would say when he comes into the U.S. Embassy, his protection is a matter of national honor for us.
Let's turn to Secretary of State Mike Ditka. Mike, what do you do about this?
Well, it's really a problem. I think the guy, he said it very simply. You know, when he talked about his wife and his family, his fears. I mean, you know, they can let him come here. There's no question about that. But then what's going to happen over there that nobody will ever hear about? Nobody will ever know about what happens over there, really. Those people will disappear. I think that's the problem. I mean, to me, he should leave the country. There's no question. And he should be able to leave the country, and his family should be able to leave the country. That's human rights. But
the problem,
I don't know that much about him.
Yeah, and the thing is, the criticism is that obviously what's going to happen to the family? That's like question number two. And this wasn't thought through. So then he ended up leaving the embassy. I think he's now out of the embassy, Steve.
He's now, they can't communicate with him except by phone. They can't meet with him, but he's under house arrest. He's back with the military. They've got him. They let him go. He thought that the Americans were going to stay with him when he went to the hospital to check on injuries because he climbed out of the second story, hurt his foot or whatever it was. He said, I then realized they left.
Well, there's another case that probably shouldn't have gone to the doctor. But anyway, look, I'll tell you what, Steve, they're not going to get this guy. There's no question. It's just a matter of they're not going to let him go. And I just hope that maybe I think they've got his house kind of pretty much under surveillance, too. I didn't get the whole story, but it's tough. We're trying to help a guy. And you could criticize the intent was there. But you do have to be very careful in these things because this is China. And, you know, we have always tried to be civil and get along and these kind of things flare up. And of course, he's staying in China. Now, what's going to happen to him and what's going to happen to his family? Mike's right. I don't know if we'll find out.
Mm. It's a sad deal, and I think the criticism comes from you guys had him. He was protected, and somehow you believe something because Hillary Clinton's flying in for trade talks. It felt like there was a rush to get this thing done.
Well, I think they just simply didn't get the whole plan. You've got to cover the family. And if you're going to make a move, it's an all or nothing deal. I don't think you just take the guy and say, well, hopefully they'll leave his family alone. What are you kidding? He's running for his life.
Yeah. Oh. It's a sad deal. No question about it. All right. We move to this, which, I think, Mike, I think you've already said something about the whole Roger Clemens thing. This is essentially one massive waste of time when it comes to Roger Clemens.
Federal agent Jeff Novitzky back on the stand as prosecutors showed the D.C. jury items Roger Clemens' former trainer Brian McNamee turned over to him. They included a beer can, syringes, and cotton balls, one with a clear stain on it. Novitzky didn't say the items contained the DNA of the seven-time Cy Young Award winner.
I say it's bad information, bad stuff. Mike, we're going to spend $10 million plus, and he's going to get probation. Why are we doing this?
Because it's ridiculous, really, and I have no idea that I don't know, Roger Clemens, I always thought was a pretty good guy. Somebody evidently doesn't think he's a very good guy, and they're trying to bring this guy down big time. Now, I don't, maybe because they think he lied to him, I don't know, or he lied under, I don't know if he did or not. But first of all, if you're not going to believe him, how can you believe this trainer? I mean, this guy, he's got to be the dirt of the earth. I mean, my God. I mean, and first of all, what do you... cotton balls and swabs, what's that got to do with anything anyways? I mean, I really don't really understand it myself. Hypodermics, I can understand that. What if a guy got a shot of a Novocaine? Which everybody, yes, we all played with it. We all got the painkiller, whatever it was, with the painkiller we put in. They put in the Novocaine and they put in cortisol. What the heck? We all did it. I mean, every athlete that I've ever heard of did it. And it's just part of it now. All of a sudden now, well, we're injecting human growth hormones and this and that. I don't buy it, guys. I really don't buy it. Roger Clemens was a pretty good pitcher, and he was always a pretty good pitcher. He didn't, all of a sudden, boom, really become a good pitcher. He was always a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, he was. He's a great pitcher, I'll tell you. And the witness, Steve, his buddy, that said he told me he was doing it, actually testified that, well, he wasn't really sure exactly that he said that. Yeah. Maybe he was remembering the stand. So I think that almost did it right there.
Yeah, and so, but I guess if a guy lies, yes, it's perjury. You got to go get him. So, but, boy, the energy and effort spent on it, when chances are he'll never go to jail anyway, I guess is to say, look what happens to bad people when they lie to me. And I guess that's the point. But boy, John Edwards, the same thing. Former senator, almost your vice president of the United States, the whole Edwards.
Well, wait a minute, Steve. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi and a few others. Are we going after her for lying? So whatever.
Okay. All right. We switch over to the Spirit Airlines story. And this is just, I guess, an example of running business and maybe how you should and shouldn't do things. Here's a veteran who buys a cheap ticket on Spirit Airlines for $197. He's diagnosed with terminal cancer. Doctor says you can't fly. He asks for a refund. They say, we don't issue refunds. Okay, that's fine. But nobody takes care of this thing. Veterans Group gets involved. 20,000 Facebook hits. People boycotting Spirit Airlines. The CEO comes out yesterday and says, all your complaints are irrelevant. We don't give refunds. If the guy dies, we'll give a partial refund. I mean, John, PR-wise, yikes.
No, that's not worth the $197. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's how he's running the company, and I guess his point is consistency.
Right, John, if I was on the board of directors of Spirit Airlines, I would think about that guy running the airlines, believe me.
You know, people have lost their jobs over things like that. I have no idea how they're doing or how good a CEO is, but that was a bad move.
Then again, it's called common sense. You know, all you got to do in this case is use some common sense and do the right thing, and it might be an isolated incident where you might make an exception. But, hey, you're too stupid to do that. Hey, that's your problem.
Hey, Stevie, if it's too bad the guy just didn't call this show, Mike and I would have given the $100.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. But you're going to go through all this? You're going to boycott the airline? Why? It's crazy. If somebody comes out of Ditka's restaurant, which would never happen, if they weren't happy, Mike would pull out a $100 bill and say, hey.
Absolutely.
They don't pay for a thing. I mean, it's that simple. I don't say we're always right, but I know we're not wrong, and what we do is pretty good. And hey, if you get a bad experience, hey, I'll take care of it. Wow. It's a big deal.
That's why the place is packed, Johnny. By the way, we when Mike was here, we had that great fundraiser, and Mike auctioned off some dinners. We're trying to put that together, Mike. I've been working with Mary. And so, Johnny, we're going to try and go and have dinner with Mike. And every time we even say Mike Ditka's restaurant, I get salivating on that pot roast nachos. Mike, those are crazy.
It's pretty good. I was in Springfield this week. I went down with the people from Misericordia. Of course, you're smoozing the representatives and the senators down there in Illinois, and you're trying to get better benefits for Misericordia, which is one of the great facilities of its type in the whole world. And it's a never-ending battle, to raise money and get money. So I found it pretty interesting, though, really. I think there was a lot of positive response for Sister Rosemary and her plea. But, boy, it's interesting. And I told people, there's a lot of great charities in the world. There really are. And every one of them, you've got to help in every way you can. But when you go to Misericordia and you see what they do and how they do it and why they do it, then you got to go, wow. I mean, this is, not only is it necessary, but it's done out of love.
And this is in Springfield, Mike?
Yeah, I was in Springfield. I flew down with I took a private plane down, took these people from Misericordia down 2 days ago, actually. So Wednesday. What was today? Friday? Yeah, Wednesday. And we had a party, or they threw this function in. Most of the people showed up, really. It was pretty interesting, and I was impressed. I got to talk a little bit, so they got to hear my thoughts on it. But, these are one of these causes that, this is, these are mostly Down syndrome and cerebral palsy children. But here's the thing. When these people were born, in the past, they had a life expectancy of maybe 12 to 15. They're living into their 50s and 60s now.
Yeah.
They're adults now. What do you do with them as adults? Well, you got to put them into what we call private residences on campus that they have. Believe me, guys, I mean, you can't turn your back on them, and which our society has a tendency to do, because we say, ooh, I don't like that. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't like it. I'm not going to deal with it. And that's basically what happens to these people. They kind of get pushed away. Well, Mr. Ricordi has opened its arms and is taking care of them. So it's pretty interesting.
It's called Mr. Ricordi, you said, Mike? What's it called?
Mr. Ricordi. It means Heart of Mercy.
Okay. Heart of Mercy.
And I'll tell you, it's the private and especially the church-associated organizations, not the government, that are really the ones that can have the impact on people, that really can help them on a personal level and want to take care of them. And the people are very grateful for it.
Yeah.
And that's what a good cause is.
Exactly. It's run by a nun, Sister of Sacred Heart. And therefore, you don't have government intervention. Well, you have to have government intervention. Because a lot of the money they get, they do
get some money. Yeah.
Well, I tell you
what. They got to raise a lot of money. And I'm going to put together a deal. I'm going to try to put a deal together at the restaurant, get some of my friends, and see if we can get a number of 100 people or so to put up a significant amount of money, and we can help.
I tell you, Mike, that's an unbelievable view to do this for them. It's just who you are, though. I'm not surprised at all. Both you and Johnny are just so
good. Well, don't forget to call Steve and I, Mike.
Yeah, you bet. I want to be in on that too, Mike.
All right, you got it. Well, I'll let you guys know. I'm going to call 10 of my friends. So you're on the list.
By the way, we end with the jobs number. It's 8.1%, down from 8.2%. Jobless rate is 8.1. There's sluggishness. This is the lowest participation in the job market since 1981. So anything but looking rosy. But 8.1 is the number. Johnny, Mike, always a pleasure. We'll talk again Monday.
All right, guys. God bless. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks, Stevie J.
Hey, Matt, Johnny, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. And Brother Johnny coming in today. He'll be in Philo for hopefully most of the month.
All right.
7:56. That's Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by VersaBar and by FlightStar. And great to have both of them on. The only place in the country where Mike Ditka talks about something other than football.
Yeah.
And it's great to get his input. And we know you appreciate it out there. We get a lot of comments about that segment. Thanks so much for listening. All right, coming up, Fox News. That'll be next. 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM.